Peter Fleming, and here I am with another edition of Great Tracks and Sidetracks. Regular program goes out every week on Coast Access Radio on 104.7. And the format of the program, as always, is music from the 70s, 80s, generally, and then bits and pieces, items from the International Express. However, this week I'm going to treat you all because just come back from a week's touring down in the South Island. Planned it a few months ago and booked everything, and then, well, along comes some orange idiot who decides to start a war. And there we are thinking, will we get round? Will there be any petrol? Well, it wasn't that bad, of course, as you know, but it's not very a very good situation, is it, really? But we got round all right. So we had a few things, a few boxes to tick on this one. That was the main thing. So it was fundamentally, we flew down to Christchurch to stay with son and daughter-in-law, picked up his car, toured around for a bit, then came back, and we came back on the Pacific Explorer along the coastline there on the train to Picton, on the boat, back on the train and back to Waikanae. Jolly nice way of having a holiday, and I'll fill you in with a little bit of information about what we did in between, because we found some very interesting places which are perhaps a little bit off the beaten track. Now, this theme, a bit of a theme this week for the programme, for the music, because if you've been outside at all, which I'm sure you have, over the last, well, a couple of weeks, really, it's getting autumnal, isn't it? Getting autumnal. So I found a sort of a type of music that just fits with this time of year when you feel that you're sliding into the winter, but you've got all those beautiful colours in the trees and the bright sunshine cooling down, but a super time of year. So we've got all sorts of things here. Well, let's start off with John Denver. They couldn't get much more countrified and perhaps autumnal than John Denver.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home. Country roads, all my memories gather round her. To blue water, dark and dusty, painted on the sky, misty taste of moonshine, teardrop in my eye. Country roads, take me home to the place. Morning hour, she calls me.
Well, our whistle stop tour of the South Island. So the first place we went to that I wanted to head to was, in fact, while we were in Christchurch, we were there for two or three nights. We went to the New Court Theatre. And if you've not been, then you're in for a treat. It's a beautiful place. And we went to see, ideally, one of the best plays you could go to see, which is The Importance of Being Earnest. So a good old traditional play there and at the New Theatre. Only comment that I would have, and I think a few people also, not a lot of room. The seats felt a bit squashed together and a bit tight to sit in. That was the only problem. And so by the time you got to the end of an act, you were jolly glad to stand up and stretch your legs. But otherwise, beautiful place, and how nice for Christchurch to have a facility like that. From there, we drove down to St. Bathans to the Vulcan Hotel. If you've heard of the Vulcan Hotel, reputedly haunted by the ghost of a prostitute who was murdered there by one of the miners, and her body, I believe, was dumped in the lake, which is just over the road from the hotel. Well, I wanted to stay there. I've been there for lunch before, never stayed there before. So we were able to book the room where Rosie the ghost is supposed to come and sit on the bed occasionally and just make her presence felt. Well, sadly, she didn't while we were there. But interesting place to go, because lovely place, beautiful meal, nice beers, lovely staff. But they all go home at night and they leave the place, and you're left there on your own. And we were left on our own. There was nobody else staying there. There's four bedrooms and we were the only one, the ghosted, haunted bedroom. And to get to the shared facilities down the end of a long, rather dimly lit corridor. I thought, oh, so there's just the two of us in a haunted hotel overnight going down to the loo, if I, you know, as you might want to do. But, you know, it's funny enough, it didn't feel at all creepy, if anything, just the opposite. I don't say I'm necessarily open to imagination on these things, but it's quite an atmospheric place. So if there'd been bad vibes, I think I would have felt them. Anyway, there wasn't. And the only spirit we left behind, in fact, was my dressing gown hanging on the back of the bedroom door, which might have given somebody a fright, but probably not. Anyway, it cost me money to go and buy another one that serves me right. Anyway, that's the Vulcan Hotel. Lovely place to go. Couldn't recommend it more. It's not too far to drive. Well, it was 6 hours from Christchurch, I say that. It was a long day, but we were in my son's MGF, and the weather was lovely, and it was glorious. So anyway, that was our first stop sort of thing on the trip. Let's have a listen to Neil Young.
Just like children sleeping, we could dream this night away. But there's a full moon rising, let's go. When we were 'Cause I'm still in love with you. I wanna see you dance again. Because I'm still in love with you. On this harvest
That's beautiful, isn't it? Neil Young, Harvest Moon. And that's a nice sort of autumnal sort of song, isn't it? All right, so we had the one night in the Vulcan Hotel, and then we drove down to Gore because we wanted to go to the Aircraft Museum. And the museum is known as the Croydon Aviation Heritage Centre, and it's actually based at Mandeville, which is just outside Gore, just along the road there. What a lovely place. Beautiful building. There they've got the aircraft. Spotlessly clean inside, and aircraft just delightfully displayed there. And they're small ones. They've got Dragon Rapide is about the largest one they've got. A lot of little biplanes and things. And it's quite a centre now for aircraft restoration, particularly in those made of wood and fabric. And, of course, New Zealand quite well known, I believe, around the world for aircraft restoration, particularly with their work on things like the mosquitoes. Ooh, wow. So, yes, very nice. And also there you've got, there is a little rail centre, the Waimea Plains Railway Trust. And they've got a steam locomotive, and they steam and give trips during the summer, but not while we were there. Lovely place to go. Well, if you're a bit of a buff like that, which I am, I suppose, great place to go. So we just had the one night there, which was nice. It was really good.
She once had me. She showed me her room. Isn't it good? Norwegian wood. She asked me to stay and she told me to sit anywhere. So I looked around and I noticed there wasn't a chair. I sat on the road.
Our next port of call was the Royal Albatross Centre at that Harrington Point, just outside, well, out, head out from, go to Dunedin and head out along the head there, then past Lanark Castle to Harrington Point, where the Royal Albatross Centre is. We've been there once before, and we're, I think possibly like a lot of people, we thought, golly, it's jolly expensive to do the full tour, and we didn't bother, and it was a bit of a cold, windy, drizzly day the day we were there. So we've been planning to go back. Glorious day this time. We did very well for weather on this trip. And not only that, we paid for the extra trip, and we took the... You get a bit of a film and a talk by one of the guides there. Then you're taken up to the observation point, which is a glassed-in hut on the right on the cliff edge. And you look out along the cliff and down, more to the point. And, well, we were so lucky. There were five... what they were calling sort of juvenile birds, wheeling about. It's just the right amount of breeze, and they were wheeling and flying around, and so at times they come down past, almost, well, below you. So you'd, photography, got some quite decent photographs. You know what photographing birds is like. You know, got a great photograph, and then you get it, it's a little speck in the distance. So I was quite pleased. So you said it very much point and shoot, and fingers crossed. Thrilling, aren't they? When you, animals in the wild, in the flesh, as it were, there's something about it. We see them on the television, but there's something so thrilling about, and it's such one of the simple things of life, and yet it's so thrilling to be so close to these. And we had a piece of glass between us, of course, so close to these beautiful birds, and they are fantastic. They just the way they wheel around, and they just seem so friendly as well with themselves. There's no squabbling. There was a few of them sort of sitting there together, like. A few teenagers might sit and chat about things. Very nice. So, yeah, I definitely recommend that. That's the Royal Albatross Centre there, just outside Dunedin.
It's empty in the valley of your heart. The sun, it rises slowly as you walk away from all the fears and all the faults you've left behind. The harvest left no food for you to eat. You cannibal, you meat eater, you see. But I have seen the same, I know the shame in your defeat. But I will hold on hope, and I won't let you choke on the noose around your neck. And I'll find strength in pain, and I will change my ways. I'll know my name as it's called again. Other things to fill my time. You take what is yours and I'll take mine. Now let me at the truth which will refresh my broken mind. So tie me to a post and block my ears. I can see where those orphans threw my tears. And know my call despite my faults and despite my growing fears. But out of your cave, walking on your hands, and see the world hanging upside down. You can understand dependence when you know the maker's land. So make your sirens call and sing all you want. I will not hear what you have to say, 'cause I need freedom now. To be.
A cacophony of sound there from Mumford & Son, who just seem to throw everything in the kitchen at their music. It's really rousing. It's good, isn't it? And I'll just mention at the beginning of that, the little bird bits were actually on the Mumford & Son track. I cut a little bit about people arriving and going on scooters, but the little quack, quack at the beginning was actually on that track. What a coincidence. So we left the Royal Albatross Centre and we went to McRae's flat. McRae's, you might have heard, is it's a big gold field. In fact, it's a big gold field. It's a big open cast mine with an awful lot of tunnels as well now, which is what they tend to do with these big places. They create a big pit and then to keep mining for gold or anything else, they start tunnelling into the sides of the cliffs. It's a huge place, but what they have is there's not an official guided tour of it, but there is a drive which is on various maps and with viewpoints where you can go and you can look down into the pit and you can watch the big trucks rolling around. And the main observation place has got a very clean and tidy hut with a working video screen with top quality video in it, which tells you all about the way the mine works. Super place to go to. Well, I like it, and you can stand right next to one of these enormous diggers and go, it just thrills me. Anyway, then so there we stayed in McRae's flat in the Stanley Hotel. Now, outside, the Stanley Hotel is very similar to the Vulcan in its design. But when you go back in, when you go inside, a little bit different, not quite so sophisticated, if they don't mind me saying so. But boy, what a super friendly place! And they tend to get a lot of the miners there from the mine, and there were a lot of young farmers. In fact, there was a young farmers meeting there the night we were there. So, quite a raucous place, and do nice food and fairly basic. I have to say, fairly basic accommodation. But at the same time, we're in New Zealand, and you're out in the sticks in New Zealand, so. What else you expect? All I can say is it was a jolly cold night and we got electric blanket and there was a nice heater in the room, electric heater. Breakfast in the morning, continental breakfast again. In one of these places, we were left on our own that night. Everybody, the bar emptied, everybody went home. we were left on our own with two other guests. In fact, there were two guys staying there associated with the mine. Interesting place to stay, McRae's flat, and it's another deserted village that was at one time, if you know what I mean. And lots of interesting facts and figures about the place, so worth a trip. It's like everything where else we went, it was a great place. Here's Carole King.
Stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time. There's something wrong here, there can be no denying. One of us is changing, or maybe we've just stopped trying. And it's too late, baby, now it's too late. Though we really did try to make it. Something so easy living here with you. You were light and breezy and I knew just what to do. Now you look so unhappy and I feel like a fool. And it's too late, baby, now it's too late. Though we really did try to make it. Something
thank you.
can't stay together, don't you feel it too? Still, I'm glad for what we had and how I once loved you. But it's too late, baby, now it's too late. Though we really did try to make it, something.
McRae's Flat brought us to the end of our little circular tour of the South Island. Then we headed back to Christchurch. Now, a couple of things we did in Christchurch, one of which, again, hadn't done before. The first thing, we went across to Lyttelton, and we hadn't been there before. And so our son and daughter-in-law had popped us in his car, and we went across to Lyttelton. And, it's what a delightful little place it is. It's a bit like Akaroa, but it's probably not, obviously not as tourist orientated, I don't think. But we thought it was very nice. And then we went across on the ferry to Diamond Harbour. And that's a nice little run. It's only a few minutes across there on the ferry. And stopped and had a walk there and a bite to eat. At a beautiful day again. And that was really nice. And the other thing that we did one day, now you could do this if ever you're in the South Island and you're driving. If you go over on the ferry and you go from Picton and you drive to Christchurch, when you come, when you're driving along Highway 1 and you come to the turn off for Hanmer Springs, which is at Waipara, then keep your eye open because there's some signs there to a place called Iron Ridge, and it's the Iron Ridge Museum. I think it's called a museum. I mean, it's only a handful of kilometres off the main road, and it's fantastic. It's a quarry, a disused quarry, which a guy bought, I think, in the 1990s. He bought this quarry. It's not a huge place. And he landscaped it. He got hold of a whole load of topsoil and dumped it inside to create some sort of mounds and hills inside. And he's one of these guys that can look at a pile of scrap and eye it up, get out his oxyacetylene and his arc welder and create all sorts of fantastic sculptures and very artistic. And it's a great place to go. It's just $16 to get in, and that includes a cup of coffee. Just make your own, but it's instant coffee. But it's a lovely place to go. It's well worth it. If you're driving past, have a break there. Ideal about sort of distance. If you're driving up to Christchurch, just pop off to Iron Ridge and have a look around the quarry there. It's got some remarkable bits of mechanical equipment. Old bicycles that you sit on and pedal, and all sorts of things happen, and an amazing wind-up kicking boot. So can't recommend that anymore. So just these little things that you come across that you think, well, people ought to know about these sorts of things. There we are. I think that pretty much finishes our trip up. That's we then caught the train back. Lovely day. Came and arrived back in Wellington, sort of late on Saturday afternoon. So we were anyway just over about 8 days. But lovely little trip in a lovely little country, of course. I mean, some of the scenery down there is just breathtaking. It's just, and it varies so much from just in short distances, from enormous gorges to rolling countryside. What a fabulous place. Thank you. A few weeks ago, I was going on a bit about the British passport situation. I'd mentioned it on the programme a few weeks prior to that, that I'd read somewhere and heard about this business of if you want to get back into the UK, if you're a British citizen, you've got to have a British passport. You can't rely on dual citizenship and having a Kiwi passport and an ETA. It was a bit annoying at the time because I thought I might never go back there again. But at the same time, my British passport was going to expire in June, I think it is, this year. So I thought, well, just in case, I better have one. So I was a bit peeved about the fact that it cost me $350. That was the combined cost of the passport and good old New Zealand post office to securely do all the transfers. Anyway, that was on the 13th of February, and here we are about 5 weeks later, and my new passport and other documentation I had to send due to be delivered by DHS this afternoon. So I suppose you could say all's well that ends well. Certainly the process of getting the passport was pretty good. I didn't ask for it to be urgent at all. So I think 5 weeks is probably not too bad, but the cost is a bit painful. And I see that the cost of ETAs is going up from, is it £16 to £20, whatever that works out to. So it's about just over $30 to $40. Mm. Oh, well, that's the way it goes. So there we are. I've got my passport, so I shan't be going on anymore. Well, I haven't got it. It's not in my hand yet, but it should be by the time I get home this afternoon.
Wildflowers, you believe. belongs with you. You belong among the wildflowers. You belong in a boat out at sea. You belong with your love on your arm. You belong somewhere you
Petty with Wild Flowers. Getting back to some kind of normality on this programme after all my tales of my holiday, the local food bank, as you may, if you're a regular listener, then you will know that I always like to give a shout out for the local food bank. And I usually have at my fingertips the latest list of shortages. It's not quite up to date at the moment, but very typical. Pasta sauce, tinned veggies, tinned spaghetti, 2-minute noodles, dry spaghetti, crackers, Milo and hot cocoa, sugar, peanut butter, jam, honey, Vegemite, Marmite, cooking oil, lunchbox items, milk powder, muesli bars, gluten-free items, interesting. Then they want single meals, coffee, cereal, meal sauces. Usual sort of thing. I mean, it's quite a range of stuff there. And then on the sanitary side, soap, hand wash, I think the pads, panty liners, presumably, laundry liquid, laundry powder, body wash, toothpaste, cleaning products, baby wipes, toilet roll, dishwasher liquid, and dry cat food. Apparently, a couple of weeks ago, they had plenty of rice, tinned fruit, baked beans, tinned soup, dog food and Weet-Bix, but that was a couple of weeks ago. So don't forget, if you're in Pack and Save or in New World, in either Parapram or here in Waikanae, you can buy some bits and pieces as you're pushing your shopping trolley through. So just bob a few bits in, and I always say $10 would go quite a long way, and if everybody did it. And then when you get to the end, find the box and pop the items into the food bank box, and you know that they're going straight to the people that are in need at the moment, and there's no money taken out for management or bureaucracy or anything like that. But if you do want to donate money, have a look at the website. Easy enough to find, and you can donate cash to the local food bank. Great institution, well worth supporting.
So we live out in our old van, travel all across this land, me and you. We'll end up hand in hand somewhere down on the sand, just me and you. Just as free just as free. Till the city lights dissolve into a country sky, just me and you. Lay underneath the harvest moon and do all the things that lovers do, just me and you. Just as free. Just as free.
If you're in the UK around about the turn of the century, then the name Tony Martin will probably be familiar to you. Now, Tony Martin was the farmer who lived in Norfolk, and he shot a teenage burglar who had broken into his home. He lived in a very remote place called Bleak House out there near Wisbech. And I'll tell you, I mean, I know the area reasonably well because I lived on the edge of the fens for most of my early life, and it is bleak out there. And this poor guy lived on his own, and he was often tormented by thieves. And this one particular night in 1999, this lad Fred Barris and his accomplice Brendan Fearon broke into his house, and he confronted them. He was up the stairs and they were down at the bottom, and he confronted them and challenged them. And they turned to flee, and he shot them, and he wounded one, and he killed Brendan Fearon. And there was a famous court case about it all, because the old story about, is an Englishman's home his castle or not, and the right to defend it. Well, in the end, he was jailed. He was jailed for I believe it, murder, and in 2000, and yeah, jailed for life for murder in April 2000. But anyway, that was downgraded to a conviction for manslaughter, and he was freed from jail in 2003, so he served 3 years. Now, a lot of controversy about this, and lots of people, really a lot of people sympathised with him, but there were also people who said no, he shouldn't have. And the poor guy was persecuted for the rest of his life, and he used to have break-ins. He never went back to live in Bleak House, but apparently it's still broken into and vandalised and things like this. It's a terrible business, really. Anyway, here's the nice ending to it. After he was released from prison for shooting a teenage burglar, Tony Martin found himself with few friends in the world. But Jackie Wadsley was one of them, and as manager of his local pub, she developed a close bond with the farmer. Soon, according to Jackie's husband David, the pair were like father and daughter, so much so that when Mr. Martin died last February, that's February 25, at the age of 80, he left her his entire estate worth more than £2.5 million. Mr. Martin's only living relatives, his older brother Robin and his daughter, Mr. Martin's niece, will get none of the fortune, which consists of the infamous Bleak House farmhouse, 350 acres of land and property in Australia. So quite a bit of property there. So I think that's quite a nice ending to the story. It's sort of terribly sad. I mean, he was a bit of a bleak character, I think, but he deserved to be able to live his life as he wanted to on his own in his remote farmhouse. And just protecting it. I mean, I'm sure most of us can just imagine what it was like. It happened time and time again that people came and broke into his farm and stuff. So it must be very frightening. And, well, what would you do? If you've not been to the Fens, I can assure you it's a very, very, totally, totally flat for... I know there's lots of parts of the world are flat as well, but the Fens in particular. And, of course, it can be a bit damp and grey, and there's drainage channels around the place, and there's the odd farm, red brick farmhouse sitting around, some of them leaning a bit these days. It's a very atmospheric area, particularly when the weather's not too good.
Been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. About the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Ooh, ooh. Come on, the peace train. It's peace train, holy roller.
Everyone jump on the peace train.
Ooh, ooh. Come on. Good friends too, because it's getting nearer, it soon will be with you. Come and join the living, it's not so far from you, and it's getting nearer, soon it will all be true. Oh, peace train sounding louder. About the world as it is, why must we go on hating? Why can't we live in bliss? 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Come on, the peace train. It's peace train, holy roller.
Everyone jump up on the peace train.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Come on, come on, come on.
Yes, come on, peace train. Hey, yes, it's the peace train.
Thank you.
Cat Stevens with a very appropriate message for the whole world at the moment, I think. The whole place has gone mad, hasn't it? It's an awful business all over the place. Anyway, well, we're coming towards the end of the programme, so just one of these silly little articles that I like to find for you because the trivia, I think, just lightens life a little bit. Opposites argue less. A quarter of couples think that opposites attract because it helps avoid arguments, which sounds a bit strange. If one prefers the window seat and the other insists on the aisle, that makes travelling together so much easier, according to 43% of those polled. Well, to me, it's just old-fashioned courtesy that the man sits on the outside and allows his wife to sit next to the window. It's like walking down the street. Your wife should always be against, not outside on the curb. That's the side that the man walks. Various reasons for that. Some people say, well, it's so if you're hit by a car mounting the pavement, the man cops it. But the old traditional thing, of course, is that if the man is right-handed, it made it easier to get his sword out if they came up against footpads and robbers. He could get his sword out if he was walking on the right without sort of clashing it into a building, I suppose. Anyway, for 35% of people, the advantage of being with someone who is different to them is that it encourages them to step outside of their comfort zone. Travelling with a partner was highlighted by 57% as a way of creating memories together. This is a survey of 2,000 people. How many times have I said that on this programme? Being more considerate of each other's needs was mentioned by 34% as a way to overcome differences when travelling. Well, there we are. So this is Railcard, UK Railcard Company, did this poll and said travelling together sparks the kind of conversations that help you learn more about each other. Well, there we are. That's our opposite. So if you think you and your husband are opposites, then you should be getting on really well. And don't forget who sits next to the window and who sits on the aisle. Well, we've come to the end of another programme in the Great Tracks and Sidetracks series. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope I haven't bored you too much in my talk of my recent holiday. But I just felt I wanted to share the business of places to go in the South Island. And it's don't just drive past them. Get in your car and sort find them out, and we've thoroughly enjoyed doing that and look forward to doing it again in the future. So here we are, Peter Fleming, from me it's bye for now, and I'll be back this time next week, same time, same place, wherever you're listening to it, particularly if you're listening to it on a podcast. Bye for now.
This programme was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the Access Media website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.